So I'm currently working at Brigham and Women's Hospital as the IRB coordinator and grants administrator. I received my master's at UMass Amherst with Sheila. This is taking a while.
Well, when you bring 75 slides, that's...
Yeah, this is going to be a long one, guys. Okay, so I'm going to present on alternative funding opportunities for local public health departments, and then present my case study from Barnstable County, Mass. So this is just an overview of what I'm going to be talking about. Public health responsibilities, public health budget, long-term benefits of public health support, public health in Massachusetts, impact of budget cuts, alternative funding opportunities, more specifically corporate social responsibility and medical reserve corps. And then I'll discuss my case studies and you guys will be able to prime me with your questions. So public health responsibilities. As stated in the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it is the responsibility of state governments to promote the public's health by exercising their police powers. Several organizational models outline the public health responsibilities of the state. State governments create statutes and regulations that define the significant public health services that local public health organizations need to provide. So these public health services include managing public health campaigns, monitoring and controlling epidemics, performing disease and injury surveillance, collecting and analyzing vital statistics, ensuring good medical care for residents, environmental control, and health education. Although local public health agencies have numerous health services to provide, they are often restricted or unable to provide some of these services because of limited state budgets. So in general, federal public health funding is distributed from state-level health departments to local public health departments. The public health budget depends on county and city taxation policies and how local governments value public health. Roughly 50 to 80% of the state budget comes from federal revenue, and approximately half is raised through state income taxes. More specifically, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, the Health Resources and Services Administration, and the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response all provide funding for public health. Local public health agencies receive funding from local, state, and federal sources, as I just said. On average, in the U.S., 44% of funding for local public health departments comes from local government appropriations. The other 56% comes from state direct federal appropriations and the fees charged for services, as Anne just talked about. Funding for local public health, however, is variable due to shifts in the economy and local priorities. So obviously there are a lot of long-term benefits for public health support. According to a 2008 Prevention for a Healthier America report by the Trust for America's Health, the country could save more than $16 billion each year within 5 years by investing in community-based programs that would enhance physical activity, improve nutrition, and prevent smoking. For an investment of just $10 per person, there would be per year, there would be a return of $56 for every $10 spent on prevention. So, more specifically looking at public health in Massachusetts, states are able to provide several services such as emergency preparedness, immunization clinics, food and housing inspections, and tobacco control by making contracts with local agencies who contribute to the cost. States must make sure that local boards of health are able to provide vital preventive and protective health programs for the citizens of the Commonwealth. Massachusetts in particular has had a strong reliance on local autonomy. However, the state does not provide incentives or staff support to assist municipalities. Several local public health departments also receive revenue through fines and fees. People residing in Massachusetts in general have had a higher standard of health in comparison to their counterparts in other states due to their long support of prevention and preventive health services. Some of these health services include chronic disease prevention and treatment, substance abuse control, family planning and teen pregnancy prevention, obesity, environmental health, tobacco control, etc. The Commonwealth has achieved these high standards through their support for public health. Massachusetts has been noted for its commitment to expanding health care access and health insurance to its residents. According to a 2010 report, federal funding has been relatively stable for the past 5 years. However, in 2009, state funding for public health programs has been cut by almost $392 million. Communities are therefore unable to provide these essential community health programs for disease prevention and health, emergency health preparedness. Budgets are projected to be cut even further for the next fiscal year. In 2009, public health funding in Mass decreased by an estimated $135.4 million. The deepest budget cuts have been to education, prevention, and screening programs. These cuts to the central administrative offices affect the ability of the department to plan, evaluate, and monitor its programs. So the impact of these cuts. The public health infrastructure in Mass in general has been jeopardized by these cuts. It will intensify disparities in access, appropriateness, and cost of healthcare. It will eliminate essential preventive healthcare services provided by local health departments. These services include vaccination clinics, healthcare screenings, and health education to individuals that are available to those who do not have a health insurance or cannot obtain these services through a primary care physician. These cuts have also resulted in a reduction in state aid to cities and towns, placing an even greater burden on local public health departments in Massachusetts. Massachusetts, which was once nationally ranked first in their support for public health, dropped to fourth in 2002 and down to 22nd in 2003. And I'm not sure what their ranking is now, but I'm sure it's not good. Budget cuts have resulted in the reduction or elimination of public health services and programs, more specifically community health education and outreach programs, which have been shown to yield reductions in the rates of several preventable diseases. Health education programs tend to have less emphasis placed on them in comparison to other programs such as immunization clinics and are the first to be cut when resources are limited. Budget cuts and the elimination of these services have resulted in higher rates of disease and death. So this led me to explore some alternative funding opportunities. The idea of corporate social responsibility came up, and that is the concept that organizations and corporations have the ethical responsibility to prove to their stakeholders that they are conscientious and dependable by giving back to the community. Local health departments could use the concept of corporate social responsibility to work in their favor by collaborating with nonprofit organizations and corporations who have common goals. Nonprofit organizations with a desire to provide similar community health outreach programs may be interested in supplying the funding for community health education programs. These organizations that might have a vested interest would be hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, health insurance companies, physician groups, diagnostic imaging test centers, and medical device companies. Local health departments collaborating with individuals, groups, and organizations allows for public health department personnel to learn more about and obtain information on the health status and needs of the populations they provide services for. Productive partnerships could enhance long-term community changes, and the concept of corporate social responsibility could benefit corporations as well as local public health departments. The ethical responsibilities of corporations to provide community outreach could contribute to the inability of public health departments to provide services for community health education. Nonprofit organizations could provide the funds necessary for the programs, but may not have the necessary expertise to carry out these programs. So public health professionals have the educational background and experience necessary to develop, disseminate, and analyze community health education programs. The nonprofit organizations could get credit and recognition for the community health education programs by sponsoring them, but rely on health departments to create, disseminate, and evaluate these programs. And the local public health departments, as Sheila said, they're kind of restricted by not having enough staff as well. So in this case, additional public health personnel might be needed. So that's where the Medical Reserve Corps could come into play. They could serve as a reliable resource useful for the cost-effective implementation of community health education programs. The Medical Reserve Corps consists of civilian volunteers who have an interest in the health of the community. The Medical Reserve Corps has community-based units that manage and employ volunteers who contribute their time and expertise. So these volunteers consist of medical and public health professionals such as physicians, nurses, pharmacists, dentists, veterinarians, and epidemiologists. Other non-health care professionals such as interpreters, office workers, and legal advisors can also donate their time. And they have a unique interest in strengthening public health, emergency response, and community resiliency. And their goal is to improve health education and awareness, increase disease prevention, eliminate health disparities, and improve emergency preparedness. So I'm going to talk about my case study, which incorporates both of these components, the Medical Reserve Corps and corporate social responsibility. So the practicum experience required for my master's included working with Barnstable County down the Cape and the Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard Medical Reserve Corps throughout the summer of 2010. Barnstable County wanted me to create a sun safety program to be disseminated throughout Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. Barnstable County and the Medical Reserve Corps had very limited budgets to put towards the health education initiative, which brought about the idea of partnering with corporations for additional funding. The concept of corporate social responsibility came to mind, and then I contacted Cape Cod Healthcare and South Coast Hospitals Group, who are obviously interested in the health of their community and would be most likely interested in contributing to the Sun Safety Program. So I contacted the marketing and public health, public relations department at these hospitals. South Coast quickly responded to my email, expressing a profound interest in the program and their willingness to help in any way possible. Cape Cod Healthcare also responded and were willing to contribute to the program. The partnership would give the necessary funding to create educational materials and purchase promotional items. And we also received media coverage for the program through the newspaper and radio. So with the resources now made available through these partnerships, a sun safety program was designed and implemented on the beaches of Cape Cod, approximately 15 beaches. The goal of the program was to observe sun safety behaviors of adolescents before and after a sun safety intervention, with the ultimate aim of improving the quality of life of adolescents by enhancing self-efficacy and awareness about their actual risk for sun and UV-related health outcomes. So the sun safety was geared towards adolescents 13 to 18 years of age due to the fact that this is when individuals receive 80% of their total sun exposure. So I used the framework of the health belief model to create the program and look at the adolescents' behaviors and risks for skin cancer and other sun-related health issues before and after the intervention. Education was disseminated through the use of handouts, including facts and statistics, posters, pictures. The American Cancer Society donated melanoma pamphlets. Through the funding, we were able to purchase gallons of sunscreen. And we used a Glovista skin analyzer to see the current sun damage on their face. The goal of the health education was to target intrapersonal and interpersonal influences on health behaviors. So health education about the harmful effects of exposure to the sun targeted these 13 to 18-year-old children with the aim to stimulate behavior change. The program aims to provide adolescents with the cues to action by providing them with educational pamphlets, health education, and various sun safety techniques. So then this goes into the, well, I skipped the slide, sorry, process evaluation. So we ended up completing a total of 475 surveys, which for the most part consisted of 13 to 18-year-olds. However, a larger portion were people falling outside of our age range, such as family members, interested older and younger individuals, people who had had cancer or melanoma, or family members who have passed away from melanoma. And we just didn't have them fill out questionnaires. We were extremely pleased with the 475 surveys, as it was just under our goal of 500. The sun safety program can be deemed to be a success because of the successful partnership, in that the sponsorship that was obtained and allowed the sun safety program to be implemented, and the target audience was reached. So Barnstable County, South Coast Hospitals Group, and Cape Cod Healthcare worked in collaboration to provide a community health outreach program that benefited all parties involved. Due to the success of the program and the partnerships that were made, the sun safety program will continue to be implemented throughout Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, and South Coast, Massachusetts. So obviously this has strong implications for future partnerships. Corporate social responsibility could play a significant role in the capability of local public health departments to disseminate services that have been eliminated as a result of public health budget cuts. Partnerships would be most suitable for community health education programs that have been reduced or eliminated as a result of budget cuts. The most effective and perhaps sustainable are partnerships forged with corporations or businesses that have common that share common health concerns and goals as the local public health departments. These organizations serve the same community, and they'd have, you know, a vested interest in the community that they serve. The Sun Safety Health Education Program was able to establish this partnership, which can prove as an example of corporate social responsibility and the significant impact this concept can have on public health. And that's all I have for you guys today. And happy Halloween.